Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. I'm so happy you decided to join us. Before we jump in, you know, I don't do this every week, but I would love if you went over, left a review, left a comment. I listened to all of those. You know, give me some topics. Send over to Steve at teachhoops.com. What kind of topics do you want to hear? But before we jump into today's topic, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. I've tried them all, and this is not only how innovative are, but you know, the workouts and what I love about Dr. Dish is they give back to the community. If you follow them on Facebook, if you follow them on Twitter, they're always giving back to the basketball community. And you mentioned Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $450 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It is a one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's resources, it's handouts, it's videos, it's one-on-one calls, it's office hours. It's a coach. It's a resource run by a coach for a coach. It's not an ex-coach, not someone that's been let go, not someone that's coaching part-time. This is what I do. And Teach Hoops helps me keep the bills on. It helps me put up these podcasts, 13 podcasts a week. Teach Hoops helps me be able to do that. And it's a roadmap for you to be successful. And let me help you in this great journey that we call coaching. But let's head off to the podcast.
Yeah, I'll try to not bore your audience too long here. I've been at a lot of different places. You know, I played at Chico State, Division II school in Northern California. And like most coaches, I realized pretty soon I wasn't going to be going to the NBA, and I had to get into something that I loved. And so that took me on this coaching path. And I was a grad assistant at an NAIA school, Concordia, Nebraska. You know, wanted to get to Division I real badly, really networked, and got on at Southern Miss as a grad assistant my second year. Coach Eustacey was the head coach there. He got the head job at Colorado State, took me with him. I was able to move up to the video coordinator spot over there. Was with him for 1 year. Back-to-back years with him, we went to the NCAA tournament, which was real exciting. Assistant over there, Nico Medved, who's now the current head coach at Colorado State, but at the time was an assistant, got the head job at Furman, and I went with him as the director of operations. And so I did that for a year, but I really kind of, to be honest, got tired of kind of doing administrative stuff. And so really wanted to get into more coaching, recruiting, and that kind of led me down to the junior college path. And so I kind of bounced around a lot of different junior colleges. I'll just kind of ring them out real quick. I was at Vincennes in Indiana, Midland in Texas, Tallahassee, Florida, Seward in Kansas. And then most recently, I spent the last 3 years in Dyersburg, Tennessee. And then that coach got the head job over here at Southeast Arkansas, and I followed him over here. And most recently, you know, we are a new athletics program, and so I came here as the boys' assistant. But as of about a month and a half ago, I also was able to get the women's head coaching job over here. So I'll be doing double duty as the men's assistant and the new women's head coach over here.
Holy cow. I didn't realize you're going to be doing double duty. So until the program starts, or how does that work at Are you going to be able to sleep? I mean, what's the story here, Sam?
Yeah, no, you know, we'll see how long it goes for, but I'm planning to do both until they tell me I can't do it anymore. My head coach and I have been together. Like I said, this will be our fourth year. Yeah. So we've got a real good kind of understanding of both of our, you know, how we work. And yeah, I'm excited to be kind of a first year head coach, and it'll be my first year on the women's side. My high priority right now is to eventually find a women's assistant coach to help me out with the, you know, recruiting women, since obviously that hasn't been where most of my experience has been. But hopefully once I get a good assistant in, that'll kind of ease off some of the pressure of coaching and recruiting on that side. And it'll definitely be a hard task, but I'm excited for it.
Well, good luck with that, Coach. That sounds very exciting to take over, and I can add that to your long resume. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, and I think you left out one thing, which is, you know, you've been helping us out as well. You've been drawing up some amazing plays. If you're listening to this right now, you'll be seeing those shortly. We haven't made those public, but the work you've been doing to help youth coaches has been absolutely amazing. And we really appreciate your level of thinking, bringing that down to the youth level.
Absolutely. Yeah. With not having a season, I had to stay busy doing something. So I've enjoyed doing it.
Oh, good. Well, we appreciate that. And today we're going to talk about creating your team's identity. Now, you got a blank slate, really, because, you know, first year women's program hasn't, there is no tradition, right? So you're really at the ground level, and kind of I want to understand from your perspective, what does that even mean?
Creating the identity you're talking about?
Creating the identity. And of course, you know, maybe break that down from your level at the college level, and then let's talk about the high school level, and then even at a grade school level, because I think you obviously at the high school and college level, you can create an identity, but definitely at the grade school level, I mean, we do it now, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So, you know, I've worked for a ton of coaches now in my, you know, somewhat youthful coaching career. Yeah. And so each coach is different. And so you grab something from each one, but what I'll keep kind of referring back to is my 2 years working for Larry Eustacey. And, you know, when we talk about creating a team identity, sorry, I got my dog in the back. I don't want to, but to me, the team identity is about kind of your core principles, your values, your beliefs, and the specific aspects of the game that you feel are most valuable. And at least at the, you know, college level and even maybe high school level, I think you need to ask yourself as a coach, what is the most important aspects that you believe are critical and essential for winning. Now, you know, going down to the lower levels, middle school, you know, junior high, maybe below that, it might not be winning, right? And so if the most important things are skill development, I think, you know, you can have an identity around that. We're going to be focused around developing our players. We're going to be focused on becoming better shooters, becoming better teammates with each other, you know? And so some of those definitely carry over as you get older and can be, you know, used both at, you know, we want to be great teammates at every level, right? But as we get to the higher levels, you know, the focus on winning is obviously a higher importance level. And so I think, you know, like I said, looking at kind of as a coach and really looking in the mirror, if you're a high school coach and you have other assistants that you can confide in and, you know, at the beginning of the season, talking and figuring out what is going to be the most important, you know, I think three at maximum four things that we're going to really focus on and preach to our guys on a daily basis. You know, I think about that saying, if you try to be great at everything, you'll be good at nothing. Right. And I think a lot of coaches, especially maybe young coaches, you know, each day it's something different that they're preaching to their players. And next thing you know, even if you are a real smart coach and you know a lot, it's not about what you know, it's about what you can get your players to know. And so a lot of players will get overwhelmed with so many different things that you're throwing at them. One day we're talking defense, the next we're talking offense. We're in a timeout and you're yelling at them for not crashing. The next time you're yelling at them for a turn, and it can be overwhelming, you know? Yeah. And so I think creating a team identity where the players really understand what's expected from their coach. And again, I think three is kind of the number that I like personally. That way, you know, it's something tangible. It's something that you know, it's more than one, but not an overwhelming amount. And so I think, you know, I'll use again, kind of the example with Larry Eustace. For those that don't know, I think he was the 2001 Coach of the Year at Iowa State. And I worked for him for 2 years, but he would always talk about his kind of three core principles and our identity. And that was defend, rebound, and then team together. And so I think having kind of two, you know, basketball related things, whether it's your offense, your out of bounds plays, your press defense, whatever, two, three basketball things, and then having a kind of cognitive mentality thing, whether it's, hey, positive attitude, we're going to bring energy every day, whatever kind of mentality aspect you bring, and I think is a good additional one to bring. But those were our key three that we constantly talked about, was defend, rebound, team together.
We talked about this off air, which is, you know, at the college level, you can recruit for someone to be great rebounders and defenders, right? Now, hopefully they're all, no matter who you recruit, if it's at the, or who you have in your team, they're great teammates, right? So, I want you to talk about that. I'm assuming then when you're recruiting, you're looking for those players that are great defenders, great rebounders. And really my true question is, does the identity percolate, or are you as the head coach setting the identity? And then, you know, and what is that balancing act? And especially at the youth level, because I get what I get, right?
Right. I think it's kind of a combination of both. You know, I think, you know, kind of to answer your question, you know, yeah, we'd love a player that can do everything, but I'm going to take a player that can score the ball. And when he gets here, we're going to then input our mentality of defending and rebounding.
Okay.
And so I think there's a good kind of balance of, you know, doing both. I think at the lower levels, and again, it depends on what your core principles are and the things that you are stressing, right? I mean, like we talked about, you can stress being a great teammate no matter what age that they are at.
Yeah.
So I think it just kind of depends. But I think, you know, at a situation where you get what you get, it needs to be a balance of, okay, our team is full of great shooters. So maybe this year we're going to really talk about being the best offensive team, you know, that we can be. You know, our team, but at the same time, one of my principles is, you know, our 1-3-1 defense. So, okay, we're going to take our strength that we have, which is shooting, but I'm also going to implement my defense, which is my 1-3-1, and I'm going to make sure that they also understand this is part of our identity as well, you know. And so, and then maybe on the other side, another year, you look and you've got all great athletes. Okay, we're really going to become the best defensive team. And maybe shooting's not going to be talked about as much. So I think at the lower levels where you don't, you know, have as much ability to pick and choose your players, you know, you have what you have. I think you can't be so stubborn and hard-headed in your ways. I think you have to look at what you have and then kind of adjust to it. But I think what's important, Coach, is that what you do kind of, you know, go with, you try to stick with at least throughout the year, you know, and obviously, you know, your team strengths might change and you might recognize some things here and there, but I think it can be a mistake for coaches to say, hey, we're going to be a, you know, run and jump press team. And then you get halfway through and now we're going to be a 2-3 zone team. You know, I think that can create, you know, issues. You know, I'm all about making adjustments, but if your players are unsure about kind of where you stand on certain things and they don't believe you're confident in what you're teaching them, you're going to start losing them, you know, and players buying in is almost half the battle in itself, whether you're 100% right in what you're teaching or, you know, you're not. If you're getting them to buy in and you fully believe in what you're teaching, I think that goes a long way with getting a lot out of the players.
Well, how do you know? Let's talk about both ways. What are signs that the players are buying in, and then vice versa? I think probably.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The negative is probably might be more obvious, but I don't know. In your opinion, how do you know when you have buy-in? What gets you excited? Like, yeah, you know,
It's a good question. And I've got kind of four little points here. I'll jump through and then it'll relay into your question here.
Yeah.
But you know, once you figure out what is most important, I think you need to talk about it, obviously, constantly. Bring it up at the beginning of the year, defend, rebound, team together, guys. This is what we're about. You need to then be working on it in practice on a daily basis. It's one thing to say we're about defense, but if 80% of your practice is working on offense and shooting, the two aren't correlating, and players will recognize that. Then you need to back it up with your own actions. And I think, you know, this might be more of kind of that third aspect of, you know, team together or positive attitude. But if myself as a coach is preaching being positive and then I'm always berating a player, I'm not showcasing what I'm trying to get my players to do. So you need to back it up with your own actions as a coach. And then this will kind of lead into your point. The fourth thing I kind of got written down is reflection and getting feedback from your players. And so I think at the end of a practice, hey guys, how do you guys think we did today? And if we're always talking about defense and rebounding, and you know, little Johnny wants to say he needs to work on his ball handling, yes, I agree, Johnny, that it's, you know, might be true, but we might not be on the same page. And, you know, I think asking, hey, how do you guys think we did rebounding today is a good question. I've got a quick kind of story for you that I think also really hits the nail right here. Really made me think of this as you asked this. But when I was at Southern Miss, we lost to Memphis. This was the year they had Will Barton over there. I think he's still in the league, maybe playing for Denver still. But anyways, we lost. And after the game, our player got interviewed, you know, newspaper, or maybe it was even a radio talk show, and said, you know, what could you guys have done better? What went wrong? You know, how could you guys have played better? And he talked about missing shots. They need to shoot better. You know, they just weren't shooting well. They didn't shoot well that game, which seems completely normal. It's a very generic answer. You hear it all the time on ESPN.
Right. Yeah.
You know, something that's not unfamiliar. Well, the next day, and we had practice at, I think, 6 a.m. every day over there. Mm-hmm. But so about 6 a.m., and we would meet before practice. We'd watch film or just talk for 15, 20 minutes in the meeting room. And the very first thing that Coach Eustacy talked about, he called out that player in front of the whole team, and he basically said, what are you talking about here? I heard you on the radio. I saw you in the newspaper, and you want to talk about missing shots. And he said, I've never once talked about we're losing these games because we're missing shots. And so he kind of made it real clear right there that, you know, the players should be thinking about defending, rebounding, and playing together. And if after the game he's talking about missing shots, even if it is true, he's not on the same page as the head coach. And so come game time, if he's thinking about making shots, he's not thinking like the head coach is thinking about. And so I think that kind of answers your question, is to see, you know, if the players are understanding and they are on the same page, asking them after a game, hey guys, how do you think we did? Hey, you know, how was our rebounding today? And again, I keep using rebounding, defending just to have a consistent basis, but it could be anything.
Right.
If we're all about shooting, hey guys, how'd we shoot it today? Oh, I didn't get my elbow in, coach. Okay. Well, at least we're talking about the same language here. And so I'll always remember that story because it really stuck in my head that this player gave a very generic answer, something that most coaches would have no problem with, But Coach Eustace had a huge problem with it because we're preaching one thing and out of his mouth is something completely different. And he never, ever talked about missing shots, never in a huddle, never after a game, never said, hey, we lost this game because we didn't make enough shots. It was always, we should have played better defense. We should have got more offensive rebounds. And that's how we could have won the game. And so you can be sure that after that, all the interviews, those players were talking about defense and rebounding. And whether it was from that talk or not, or just from more buy-in, but they made it, you know, Coach made it clear that if you're not thinking like he is, you're not completely bought in to what we're trying to teach.
Yeah. And I want to break this down a little bit because this is really relates to what I do. And this, again, at the grade school level and when I was coaching high school too, is we had an identity, and our identity that we established, it was an acronym that we came up with. And I still use it to this day because I think it's really important. Now I have a travel ball team, and it's, we take our identity a step further. And if you've been listening to this podcast for a little bit, you've heard me say this, and it's two words. It's Red Dot. And like I said, it's an acronym. So and it breaks up into two pieces. The first piece is the game on the court, and the second piece is the game in your head, right? And so the first piece, Red. So Red stands for rebounding, efficient scoring, and defense. So as a program, those are the three things that we really put an emphasis on. And we, you know, we preach those at the beginning of practice. I do it even in all my camps. You get the Red Dot Award. You get the Red Dot Award after practice. We manifestate it as well by placing a red dot at a pressure point between, if you're looking, watching this on video right here, it's a pressure point. So we know that the kids are going to make a mistake, right? So every kid has a red dot before every game, before every practice. They just grab that red dot. Okay, done, reset, right? Next play, right? So that's a kind of a reset button for them. And then the second part of it, the dot part, is drive, open, together. So drive means energy and effort, okay? Open is being coachable and being open to other teammates, other opinions, etc., right? And then, of course, together is together, teamwork, and all of that goes along with it. And so we created that just so, one, it was easy, right? Everybody is like, it's the red dot way, right? And everybody, you know, we preach it from third grade up to all our high school players. And that's what we, you know, and again, as I bring on new coaches, what do you work on? Well, it's red, right? Rebound, efficient scoring, defense. And it's all, of course, that's all broken down. What does that mean? What does efficient scoring mean, right? We're trying to get an and one every time, right? So we teach that. We teach how to do that, right? Rarely have really good outside shooters. So we have to be efficient with how we score, right? Sure. So again, it's all, and I bring that up to say, you know, it can happen at, you know, you're with your men and your women at the college level, you know, year round, right? And you can at least have conversations, and you're talking with, they're there to play basketball and go to school, right? At the grade school level, even at the high school level, it's, you know, yes, it's a sport, they play, the focus isn't necessarily winning, it's improving as an individual. But at the same time, this identity can be established at whatever level you're at. And my question to you is, how does that translate into, let's start again at the college level, wins and losses. Let's say you have no identity versus an identity. Okay. And then all the way, let's trickle that all the way down, you think, and maybe it's the same answer, but how do you, you know, we're all about measurement, right? As coaches, and you want to see improvement. So how can you quantify that? Hey, this is really working. It's really resonating. Does that make sense, Coach?
Yeah, I think putting, you know, certain goals out there, you know, defensively, you know, we want to hold teams to X amount of points, you know, from a rebounding standpoint. And obviously I know it's harder to maybe stat some of these games at lower levels, but like our goal was always offensive rebound, 50% of our misses. And at halftime, we'd get a box score and go, I mean, it was quickly easy to figure out for those that have never done it before. You know, we've got 30 shots up. Well, we need to have 15 rebounds. 15 offensive rebounds gives us 50% offensive rebound percentage. And then, you know, going kind of from there, I think players that, you know, players or teams that don't have an identity, I kind of mentioned this, it can be, you know, too many things going on at once. And I think players can get overwhelmed by having too many things to think about in the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think regardless of the level, you know, I think you want them focused on, you know, like I said, not too many things. And so when it came to defense and rebounding, our players knew that, you know, if they were going to get pulled out of a game for a mistake, it was going to be for one of those reasons. So that allowed them to play freely offensively, right? They miss a shot. Mm. They're not looking over the bench to see if they're going to get pulled out. But they give up an offensive rebound, there's a good chance they're going to get pulled out. Mm. On the other hand, you don't have any identity and you're pulling kids out for every single little mistake. And now the player's not, you know, he's just thinking about not making a mistake, you know, instead of going out there and playing hard and, you know, maybe putting that emphasis on those one or two things that, you know, he knows are important to you.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Make sure you subscribe, like, we love those. And send me an email, steve@teachhoops.com. Tell me what you want to hear in the future. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.